This is the Illuminate Podcast, a Sandy Boy production. Each week on the Illuminate Podcast, the hosts will bring you insightful conversations and stories of people who are illuminating their own lives through their business, work, community, family, and world.
Hello, and welcome to the Illuminate Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Donahue. In this episode, we are talking with one of my very best friends, Stephanie Bosby. During our conversation, we discuss how recent changes in her life have acted as a catalyst for transformation and reinvention, and that the beauty that can come from making the choice to pursue what truly inspires you. Also, how it's never too late to go for the life that you want. While Stephanie opens up and shares from her experience, I think there are a lot of universal themes and lessons that we can all learn. If you want more, check us out on patreon.com/illuminatepod. You can also follow us on social media and, of course, let us know what topics you would like to hear more of. But for now, it is my pleasure to introduce you to Steph. Okay, welcome to the Illuminate Podcast. Today, I am talking with my beautiful friend, Stephanie Bosby. Welcome, Steph.
Hello.
How are you?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
You know, just getting ready for the holidays, wrapping up the year and everything that goes with that. So it's been crazy, but I'm so happy that you agreed to talk with me today and that we get to introduce our listeners to the amazingness that is you. And the reason this came about is a few weeks ago, I came over to your apartment or your condo rather, and we were just hanging out and putting together some furniture and eating Mexican food and lots of queso. And we were just chatting about life. And I told you then, I was like, hey, would you like to be on our podcast? And so I thought, absolutely, what you've been doing this year, I mean, in general, in life, you're amazing, but especially this year, I thought this would be a really nice thing for us to talk about. So thank you again for joining us today. And I will say it has been quite a transformative year for you this year. And that is what I would really love to talk with you about today. Some of the ways that you've really been a source of inspiration to me personally, and you just never cease to amaze me, and kind of some of your journey and some of the events or things that got you to where you are right now, December 13th, 2023.
Yeah. So I was just looking at the calendar, actually, and it was around almost exactly this time last year. I was in Hawaii, and the reason I was in Hawaii is because I found out that my husband was moving out, and I decided to get out of town to just collect my thoughts and give a little space for him. And yeah, that was exactly 1 year ago, almost to the date. So
yeah,
it was kind of a weird holiday season for me. And then I came back to Boston, where I live, to a mostly empty house and had to put the pieces back together. Mm-hmm. And I decided to, try to make the most of it, I guess you could say, and turn things around with what was left of the year. So I thought about, like, what am I able to do now that I have all this free time? I'm not, you know, having dinner with a partner every night. I'm not, like, we're not taking the dogs for a walk. Sorry, let me turn off all of my shit. We're not taking the dogs for a walk. We're not, you know, it's kind of me on my own. So just kind of figuring out, like, what does that mean for me? And I decided it meant I have time to do more things. And what do I want to do with that time? I thought something that like makes me feel good inside and out, right? Mm-hmm. And one area of my life that I had been happy with, but not super happy with, I would say, was my career.
Okay.
And if you had asked or looked on the outside, like I had this very interesting career. I had worked in Singapore for a number of years as an executive assistant at a hedge fund for like a billionaire boss who was in Architectural Digest or whatever, and all these things. And I got to go to the Hamptons and go to New York and fly in business class and do all these things. And it was fun. And then I moved back to the US in 2016. Mm-hmm. And I was living in LA. And that was fun as well. And then, but what was really missing for me was a relationship. And mm-hmm. that was an area of my life that I really wanted to make some progress. So when I met my soon to be husband, and he asked me to move to Boston, I thought, well, I don't really know anything about Boston. I don't know anyone there.
But why not?
Yeah, why not? So I ended up moving out here. And then that was where kind of life unraveled in the earlier part of this year. And what was also going on in the background of that was that my father had stage 4 cancer and was in the last months of his life too. Mm-hmm. So I think everyone remembers from my circle of friends, he did pass this last May.
Yeah.
And so I was dealing with like the divorce and then spending a lot of time in Minnesota dealing with my dad passing, and then feeling like I had all this free time all of a sudden because I wasn't taking care of a sick parent anymore. Mm-hmm. I wasn't taking care of a sick relationship anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And so time. I
mean,
right?
That's a lot for, I mean, anybody to have to try and navigate through, like one sort of those situations, let alone two, right? Takes so much energy and compassion on your part. And I mean, you know, I hear these again, and like listeners, I know Stephanie well, and have, you know, seen this over the past year. But it is amazing to me. Like, it's just absolutely incredible how you still continue, like, even right now in this moment. Listeners, you can't see her, but she's got a smile on. Like, I've never seen somebody handle things with such grace. And yeah, you're incredible.
Thank you so much. I mean, I've just been trying to, again, like, make the most of the fact that life didn't really go according to plan. And yeah, kind of like I had to make a new plan, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I found myself at the kind of earlier part of this year thinking like, why aren't I happy with my career as much as I would like to be, right? Mm-hmm. And it was because I always had a career that I knew how to like dress it up and make it sound like, oh, it's growing great and I'm really happy and blah, blah, blah. Check all the boxes in America that we are supposed to check. But I never really felt like what I was doing kind of deeply resonated with me, that my work in a way was like in touch with my inner thoughts and purpose.
Sure.
And I knew how to make money, but I didn't really know how to like have a career that made me excited to get up and go to the office or go to the Zoom or get on Zoom.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. We did.
Engage, period. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I decided, you know, I think I need to add more value. Like I need to be able to have a career that is something that reflects the person I want to be. And so I decided at the age of 40 that I would take the LSAT and go to law school. And so I did. So I'm in law school right now.
I know. And you are wrapping up your first semester of law school. Like, yeah. That's insane. It's incredible, but it's insane. Like,
yeah,
you know, so, to come out of everything. And, you know, I think that's when a lot of us could think, oh, well, you know, forgot it. I'm just like done. I'm just going to, whatever happens, happens at this point. But you're like, nope, I'm going to do the LSATs and I'm going to go to law school.
Yeah,
you're crushing it. You're wrapping up your first semester.
You know, I think it's like there was one way to look at the situation, which was that all of this loss. But the other way to look at it was like that it was a gift of time. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I had like all this time and I could do things at night. I had like all my nights completely free.
Yeah.
So I learned that there are a few, you know, American Bar Association approved law schools that are at night, that are for people that work full time.
Yeah.
And it's really great because everyone in my program has their own career as well. One person is like a letter carrier with the US Postal Service.
That's cool.
And another person is a doctor.
Wow.
So it's like all range of people go to law school, which is really interesting, and I love learning about people's different walks of life. So it's really fun for me.
Yeah. So I want to hear definitely a little bit more about what this first semester in law school has been like. But as you mentioned, you're with, you know, several other adult learners, right, or folks that are maybe looking to make a change as well. But in addition to doing this, you also have a full-time job, right?
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about your work in this current role and maybe how being in that space influenced your decision to pursue law school?
Yeah. So I started working in startups in like 2019, maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I learned that I really enjoyed getting on board companies at a very early stage when they're just finding their footing, their funding, their story, all of that. And so I started working for a couple of different startups, one in Boston. I worked for my ex-husband's startup. And then I ended up getting involved with a person that I worked with at Riot Games in LA, who had gotten involved with this New York City-based startup. And I thought it was really interesting. I thought what they were doing was really interesting. And so I just kind of came on board. The role was very undefined, but it was kind of like operations, help with whatever we need and all of this. So flash forward a year, we have this new general counsel and we have this new kind of big time lawyer that we've hired, and they need someone to help him get up to speed with the org. And they sort of paired me with him because I had been the 18th employee or something. And
I knew
a lot about who is who and what was what. So
yeah, definitely
started working with him for what we thought would just be like a couple of weeks while he was getting on board. But we ended up really hitting it off. And I learned that I always thought law was interesting in different respects. You get a lot of the criminal law side on TV. And you get glimpses of other types of law, you know, divorce lawyers, or maybe from your own life, or contract lawyers. But when I first started to see what a general counsel did, I thought it was so interesting because it's really like tackling different problems that are always coming down the pipeline for the business.
Yeah.
And I did study business in undergrad, so I had a little bit of that background. And so eventually I ended up working with the GC, and we were this kind of two-person team running legal. And I thought, this is great. I'm going to go to law school and then do this job on the side, this job that's kind of like, you know, I'm managing it and it's going well and I love my boss. And then the next thing I knew, my boss left.
Of course.
And suddenly,
of course.
Suddenly it was like, oh, like, no, you have to help manage like all these additional things. And it didn't really matter that I was now in law school.
Or have a law degree. Like, yeah. Just go for it, Steph. Like, why not?
It was like a whole nother challenge of job. And so what was really funny was I ended up taking on in the last year this super interesting role that I really love. So now I manage legal operations for the company. Okay. And I kind of connect the dots between all of our external counsel and the CEO.
Okay.
And so I kind of manage all of their projects, their legal work, what's happening, and then bring it back to our CEO, who is a JD as well. So basically, we're in the trenches, kind of doing the startup thing every day, but we're getting to learn about a lot of things across technology and fintech, financial services. I do stuff with even like immigration law, people's H-1Bs, you know.
See, that's really interesting. Yeah. Stuff.
And I see like from everything from the employees coming in to like some of the bigger deals that we're doing and partnerships. So I have this super interesting job now, and I'm also kind of like paving the way towards being able to add more value through eventually being a lawyer.
And maybe it's safe to say like falling into or not falling into, but having been presented this opportunity to work with this group, maybe lit a little bit more of that spark in you to kind of take on this. I mean, going through law school is no small potato, right? Like at all.
Yeah.
And so did you, I mean, it sounds to me like that when you met your former boss who now left, that's when maybe those kind of like wheels started to turn and you're like, actually, yeah, this is like, this could be it. Right.
Yeah. I mean, he was such a great boss. He is such a great boss. I mean, I really am truly jealous of anyone who gets to work with him. But he taught me that, like, I don't have to be afraid of people just because they have an advanced degree or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be in the room too, and I can read the contract too. And yeah. I can get the degree even too. So it's funny because, like, I get so many different reactions because it's such a weird thing, you know, someone going to law school at 40. But I get people who say everything from like, oh, we thought you were already a lawyer because you were on the call, like talking about all these things. And then I have people that know me from a long time ago, and they're kind of like, oh, we know, you know, we're surprised. We didn't see this for you or whatever. And whatever the reaction, it's just kind of like, I'm just going to keep working in the background for the couple of years. And eventually I will be a lawyer, and it doesn't matter what anyone thought I could do it or would do it. It'll just be the case, you know?
Right.
So
right.
There won't be anything else to say about it. So I kind of just hang on to that when I have to explain or feel the need to explain why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Just focus on, you know, we always meet people with careers and we just picture them doing this career for 20 years.
Forever, right.
But a lot of the time it could be that, you know, it's their second career, and that's getting more and more common too.
Yeah. And that brings me to a really interesting, or, you know, something I was thinking about when I was prepping for this is, I think sometimes, you know, as certainly as women,
maybe like, you know, for those of us who are in our 40s now, right? We feel, or this applies to everyone, really. It doesn't matter, you know, what you identify as or what age you are, but we feel the pressure, I think, to be defined by a certain age, right? And that kind of goes back to what you were just saying about, like, you expect, or when you meet people, or you expect people to be in a career for however long, or, you know, really have established in one particular area or another. But I think, to your point, that's not always the case, right? Many of us have kind of started from scratch or maybe reinvented the wheel a few times. And I love, what I love so much about you, among so many things, is that, you know, as a female in our 40s, having to kind of abide by that societal pressure of like, oh yeah, I got to tick this box, I got to tick that box. You're almost like, screw it, I'm gonna do what I want, right? And it doesn't matter what anybody says. And this is why I think it's so cool. And why I wanted to, you know, highlight what you're doing right now in this space. And I think, you know, what's also pretty, or probably kind of universal, is I'm sure there's some listeners and others out there that are maybe at a similar sort of like precipice, or, you know, have that kind of little inkling that's like, I need to make a change, or I want to make a change, not even, you know, out of need, but out of want. So as you've been going through kind of your process of, I'll call it reinvention or reinvigoration, whatever you'd like, you know, what has served you, and what would you share with someone else who's kind of like, ah, I don't know if I should, you know, what are people going to think, or I'm too old for this, or I'm too young for that, whatever the case may be. You know, do you have any little kind of pearls of wisdom?
Well, I think, like, as women, sometimes we are, I feel, expected to take a little bit of a back seat.
Totally.
Right. And it's like, well, we'll watch the kid, we'll stay home with the kid.
Yeah.
You know, we'll clean up the, you know, finish, stay lit up later to clean up the mess in the house, or whatever it is. And I just feel like one thing that I've really learned for myself this year is that we all have a right to be mentally engaged when we're doing our day-to-day stuff. And no one should have to do a career that's only somewhat engaging if they really want more. And so I think, like, and just by changing my tune a little bit at work and saying, hey, I'm actually going to pursue something that's important to me, I feel like overnight I just got almost like a little more respect, because it was like I was being more authentic suddenly. I was saying, hey, you know, I want something more than just this job, and I'm gonna keep doing this job. But when I'm not at this job, I'm going to be working towards something more. And there's nothing, I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm just going to do it. And if there's anything wrong with my work here, you let me know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I put it.
And I love
it. No one has the right to tell you what you do with your weekends, you
know? No, absolutely not. Right.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I feel if anyone who's listening to this is feels like, you know, what they're doing day to day is not resonating with them inside, I just think there is, you know, ability to say, hey, I deserve to be more mentally stimulated at my job or at home or in what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. And I think,
because I've been like, okay, I'll be the one to take notes in the meeting, or I'll be the one to play with the kids, because, you know, I'll be the one to just have a lesser experience because there's some other need that needs to be met. And I do that to myself all the time, right?
I realized
that it was time to stop doing that, maybe in my work life.
Yeah. I mean, if that's at least if not like your whole life, right? Start claiming your space. And I think that's something, you know, maybe just, I know this is about you and I don't want to, you know, make it about me, but I don't know if it's something that hits when you turn 40, but all of a sudden I'm just like, you know what? Nope. This is what I want. This is what's going to fulfill me. This is what I don't want. And like, honestly, it sounds maybe a little cheesy, but I wish I didn't wait this long, you know, to start claiming my space and claiming what I want and claiming that experience that I want. But that's what, you know, again, the reason why, you know, I'm so blown away with you and I'm so grateful and I value our friendship so much is because I can see what I want reflected in you, right? I see the person that I want to be and I see the attitude and mentality that I want to keep moving toward. And so, you know, our friendship is just such an invaluable thing to me. And I see how you tackle your life and I see how you're making changes. And it's like, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna do it too. I'm gonna keep going.
Thank you so much. And I also have to say a lot of this is like my mom too, because she's also been through so much this year. Her life really turned around. You know, my parents had been married for a long time and were still married, you know, when my dad passed. So she's had to have a whole new, you know, approach to life. And every time I call her, she's like so busy, like with all of her commitments and her different little jobs and things that she does and all her friends. And it just cracks me up because people say that I'm busy. I'm like, you should meet my mom.
Which I can't even imagine.
Mother.
Yeah, knowing how busy you are, like I can't even imagine what busier would be. Like, it makes me want to fall asleep right now from sheer exhaustion. Just listen to it. And so that kind of goes back to our point of like, it doesn't matter what, like where you are or who you are or like what age you are, right? Like we don't have to kind of abide by these whatever preconceived notions of like, oh, it's too late or it's not for me or I shouldn't be doing this. Like reinvention can happen like, at any point.
And you it know, doesn't have to always your partner died, you have to be in mourning.
And I mean, that's not an easy thing to go through. And kind of in this space is, I'm sure getting to this point where, you know, it's maybe you had that decision or that kind of like flip or switch that flipped. I'm sure it wasn't just like an instantaneous thing, right? And I'd love to know about, you know, what maybe you've had to kind of overcome within yourself, those old beliefs or of what you thought was possible. I know you've already talked a bit about it, right? But if there's any other, you know, kind of thing that you want to mention in that space of like, how did you get over that fear or that hump?
Yeah. You know, I didn't even mention this yet, but I also wrote a kind of self-help book a couple of years back that had to do with student debt, which was part of my story. But in that book, I talk a lot about how I had this kind of shift with my beliefs around money and wealthy people and successful people, right? Mm-hmm. And I used to have this kind of inferiority complex when I was around people like that because it just wasn't part of my experience growing up.
Yeah.
And I found myself in 2007 to 2016 living in Singapore, which is a very like image conscious place.
Yeah.
And people are very successful. A lot of expats there are living, you know, working in banking and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so suddenly I went from art school to working at a hedge fund, and I never worked around millionaires before or people that were kind of making that type of income. And it was such a learning experience for me because I don't know how to say it more eloquently, but I just realized we were all kind of the same. We all came to work every day, got a cup of coffee, and we did different things at the hedge fund, but we all served a role that was important. And so what was funny was, like, we worked with all these traders, and they used to go out after work, and sometimes they would invite me to go out for drinks or whatever, and I would never go because I was so afraid that I wouldn't have anything to talk to them about. I wouldn't be smart enough to keep up with the conversation, or, you know, or whatever they were talking about, derivatives, whatever. And I just thought, it took me about 3 years of working there to finally one night go out to drinks with them. And I did, and I realized it was, like, such a non-big deal that I could have been having a lot more fun
early,
right? Because they were totally normal and no one talked about work outside of work.
Probably the last thing, you know.
But I was just like, I was just keeping myself out of it because of what, you know, some kind of shame that just was totally unfounded.
Yeah.
So I just kind of learned through that job that, you know, I don't need to always look for the differences. I can also look for the similarities when I meet people that are from those different walks of life.
Yeah.
And now I have jobs where I work with successful kind of high net worth individuals all the time. And it's actually, like, more comfortable for me now because it's been a long number of years
being in the circle. Yeah, absolutely. It's, like, no big deal, right? It's just, to your point, it's just people.
Yeah.
Just people at the end of the day, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I remember, like, even once having to take an Uber with my boss, and I was like, oh, we're keeping it real today.
Slumming it with us regulars.
And, like, yeah. And I just, you know, it was like, everyone does that. Everyone has to take an Uber sometimes. Like,
I know.
Let's not put people on such a pedestal, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think that's, like, a really, what's the word I want? Not smart, not mature, but just a really insightful way to look at it, right? Yes, you know, I think people of different positions may have, I don't know. I'm not super eloquent today either. But okay. Literally, at the end of the day, and that's a lesson I had to teach myself too and have to learn. I think a lot of us could relate, like, whatever person or group you may feel like you don't necessarily belong in or you're not good enough for, like, at the end of the day, it's all a bunch of crap. Like, you belong where you want to belong.
Yeah.
And you show that you are an embodiment of that. So that's really amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's definitely a lot, or something that a lot of us can take, you know, a lot away from. And speaking of embodiment, like, to me, Steph, you are the embodiment of the Energizer Bunny. Like, again, I know you're talking, I don't know how you do this. Like, work full time, law school, like, you're always active. You're always doing something. You're always down to do something too. You're like, yeah, I just worked like a 16-hour shift, but let's go to the winter market down the seaport. And meanwhile, I'm like, I sat on my bed and worked from home today and I'm exhausted. Like, so how do you keep your momentum? And, you know, like, what's your why? How do you keep going? And in that same vein, I know it's kind of like a multi-part question, but, like, how do you maintain your sanity? And that balance.
Yeah.
I
just do the things that I've seen other successful people around me doing, right? Which is, like, they try to maintain a routine. You know, I walk my dogs every day at 3:00. Mm-hmm. It's on my work calendar. Everyone knows if they call me at that time, I won't know what's going on because I'm out in the woods with the dogs.
Yeah.
And I just, like, try to have those little things that connect me every day back to, like, the world at large and not my little context of what I'm working on. I don't know. Like, my sleep schedule got really messed up with the divorce, and I found I couldn't sleep a lot of the time. So I would just get up in the middle of the night and try to be productive, or, you know, take my mind off what I was actually thinking about, which was just, like, this sadness and the loss. So, you know, I have a weird kind of sleep schedule. People get emails and texts from me at all hours of the day or night. Because I never know when I'll be sort of having a quiet moment, like catching up on my personal stuff.
Sure.
So I don't know. I just like, I feel very fortunate. Like my dad never slept more than like 6 hours a night, I think, my whole life. And
yeah,
kind of rubbed off on me. We just go, 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 go.
I mean, yeah, you do not cease to amaze me, I swear.
But I'm telling you, you should really... talk to my mom because she is.
No, I'm gonna have to.
She makes me look like lazy bum.
Next month on the Illuminate podcast, Mama B. So as we're kind of wrapping up our time together today, I just have, you know, a few more questions for you. And one, I think we've alluded to, or you've alluded to a little bit during our conversation so far, but you know, in this new path that you're on, you know, how do you define success for yourself? And maybe how has that definition evolved over time?
Oh, that's such a good question. I mean, I used to have a very, you know, basic idea of success that kind of we all had, right?
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Being married, having a successful relationship, having money, having a successful job, and checking all those boxes and being able to also check the happiness box, because I feel like people are most competitively happy in America, right? We're like, I'm like, no, I am happy.
Look at how happy and successful, right? Like, fun I am.
You know, so I think like I've had to readapt my way of thinking, because I can't be successful in the ways I used to be, because I'm so thinly spread now.
Yeah.
So even just in one of my finals the other day, like I did very poorly on one of my exams, and I just was so mad at myself, you know, I couldn't shake this anger that I was just like, I don't get bad grades. That's not me, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't perform poorly ever. Mm-hmm. And just having to say, like, well, actually, you did,
and that's okay.
Actually, you know, you can't have these like black and white pictures of success for yourself, because you're not going to hit them when you're doing this many things.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's been a lot of like just small things, you know, accepting that like I've gained a little weight, I have a different size clothing now than maybe a year ago, like,
but you still look accepting, good.
Yeah. Accepting that, you know, things are just gonna be how they're gonna be, and the more that I can get on board with it, the happier I'm gonna be, and probably the better I'll look too, because I think happy people just naturally have like a glow kind of. So,
and you glow, girl, you glow.
I think you know, we're all like just trying to figure that out in this post-pandemic life, like how to have a balance and see our friends, see our loved ones, and do all the things we need to get done. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's, I think, a key thing to remember. It's just like definitions, whatever they are, whether it's success or what our definition of happiness, it evolves, right? And that's okay. Like it should evolve and it should change and grow as you change and grow. And I think you really walk that walk in addition to talking the talk. And that's really beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, thank you so much. And I do think also that like people who are pursuing their interests are more interesting.
Yeah.
Because I have so much more to talk about now that I'm, you know, in school. I have all these like learning about all these new things I didn't even know about, and I can have conversations about them. And then also at work, I'm learning all the time new things.
Yeah,
I'm feeling very fulfilled, and like it's just Once I started taking action and saying like, hey, no, maybe there is a more interesting, you know, path for me. Like, that's when I think people started to pick up on it too, right? Mm-hmm. So like just taking the smallest action really does have an impact on the people around you, because yeah. it's like, wow, like I could do something small too. I could take an action. It yeah. has a ripple effect, I think.
Absolutely. No, you're right. And I mean, I can definitely say that, you know, selfishly, I felt that. All right. I see you keep going and, you know, hopefully maybe just keep paying it forward, right? We all keep paying it forward. We do good things. We help each other and we do what's, you know, good for ourselves. And then we create that space for others to say, yeah, that's okay for me to do too, right? Like, it's not a bad thing for me to do something that makes yeah. me happy. Like, what a and novel concept, right?
I have so much more meaningful connection with people, like sharing about my father dying or my mm-hmm. husband leaving me mm-hmm. than when I was saying like, oh, my, look at my wedding pictures and my yeah. ring, or, you yeah, know, all yeah. the things that I was really proud to have and talk about, but that didn't give really other people much to connect to with me.
Yeah.
And when I'm really talking about the struggles I've had this year, I've connected with so many more people that have opened up about like their sick parent or their marital issues.
Yeah.
That I have so many more quality conversations than when I was going around just kind of showing off my life.
Yeah. No, I think you're probably not alone in having that realization, right? I know I've experienced that in several contexts where it's like, no, like, what am I trying to prove here? Or whatever the case may be. But again, being truer to yourself and being true to what you want and as authentic as you can be really does create that space for others to do that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just sharing like the stuff that we're going through on a day-to-day basis, like it's such a lovelier place to start with people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really nice way to put that. Man, Seb, I could keep talking to you all night, but I know you're busy.
To be here for it.
We have established that you're busy, so I do not want to take up much more of your time.
You're
but
busy
if you would right indulge now. Me, there are a few end of the episode questions that we like to ask all our guests. And if you would be so kind, I'd love to know, and I'm sure our listeners would love to know, what, being that this is a podcast, what podcasts, if any, are you listening to right now that you'd love to share?
Oh my God. I started listening to like some law school, like tort podcasts. But yeah, I'm not really listening to anything right now and I'm not really watching anything on TV. But I am going to be moving my TV into the living room, which I've never done in my life, had a That's TV in the huge. Living room. And so I'm becoming like more American, I feel, getting that focal point in your room. But I just always forget that watching TV and listening to podcasts is an option. I have KCRW on the radio like all day and the knob is broken, basically.
Yeah, and the knob is broken. But that's okay, right? Again, it's not like you're not using that brain space right now, so...
Yeah, I can't even fit like anything more into my brain. I feel
no,
like.
And that's fine. And I think I know the answer to this next question. What books are you reading right now?
Oh yeah! Oh my God!
Law school books.
Law school books. My work was like, can we get you a gift certificate for Christmas? And I said, can you just get it on Amazon? Because these books are like $600 a semester. And they're like, we really want you to get something more fun with, can we get you something more fun? And I was like, no,
I need textbooks.
But I have to say on that note, like, law school is like infinitely interesting. I just have to say, I all the time, I love hearing about cases that decide major pieces of law in America, right? And what
yeah,
we've
absolutely. Yeah, that must be fascinating.
And we just finished torts class, which I thought I would hate because it's like personal injury law, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just thought like, oh, like ambulance chasers, boring, you know?
Yeah. Not interested.
But it ended up being like super interesting. And it's always like the worst possible, craziest outcome, you know, like that starts up so innocently and goes in a crazy detour. So I really enjoyed that class, and I loved like sharing what I was reading week to week with like my roommate and the people around me.
I mean, I love getting the text.
Yeah.
It's so be like, hey guys, look at this case, or like blah 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 blah.
Why a snake? Like, oh, okay. Break out of the truck.
Look at the comment. I'm getting a secondhand law degree over here. I just don't have to take the tolls.
That's so funny.
But yeah, so
oh, again, but I did read, I by the way, I did read My Body by Emily Reddish, and that was actually really interesting for just a woman's kind of empowerment book that your readers would enjoy. That was the last thing I did read, and I just thought her writing style and her ability to talk honestly about the way the world sees her physical appearance, it's just very interesting. And you don't get the behind the scenes inside the supermodel's head narrative very often, where you find out like, what does it really feel like to be the sort of total embodiment of beauty to the world?
Yeah.
And what kind of like bad things come along with that? We don't even think about it really.
Right.
So I found it fascinating, that book.
That's interesting. I'll have to put that in the episode notes too. Yeah. And I want to read
Emily Ratajkowski.
But as sad as I am, I will let you go. And I'm so grateful. You've shared so much with us today. And I'm personally grateful that you're in my life, and I'm grateful that you've given me this opportunity to share your light with others. So with that, I will let you get back to the 800 and bajillion things that you're doing.
No, great hosting, and thank you so much for having me. Like, it's really an honor, and I've loved hearing the other guests and what they've brought to the conversation too. So just keep bringing, you know, these interesting people into the limelight.
That's what we'll do, girl. That's what we'll do. Okay, she's amazing, am I right? I mean, seriously, can I bottle up some of her energy? I am so grateful to Steph for opening up and taking the time to talk with us today and sharing what an absolute badass she is. I hope that you enjoyed getting to know her a bit and are able to take some inspiration and encouragement with you as you look ahead to your 2024, knowing that, honestly, whatever you want to do, you can do it regardless of what anyone thinks. Thank you so much for spending this time with us today on the Illuminate podcast. And until next time, and until next year,